helping realtors on Vancouver Island stay connected, current, and on the cutting edge. This is the Vancouver Island Real Estate Show. Here's your host, Braden Wheatcroft.
Good afternoon, everybody. Good morning. If you're watching on the Pacific, I should say good afternoon to my friends back east. This is the Vancouver Island Real Estate Show. I am your host, Braden Wheatcroft, and today I'm very excited to be having the opportunity to interview and have a conversation with a guy that I've looked up to for a very long time, Mr. John Cooper from RE/MAX of Nanaimo. For those of you who don't know John, he is a team leader, realtor at our RE/MAX of Nanaimo office. He's been in the business now for over 10 years, actually just recently celebrated 10 years in the business. He's an awesome guy. You know, one of my favorite things about John is he is unapologetic about his priorities. He's a businessman, but he's a family man first. I like to bug him that I think every year he's up for dad of the year, because you follow him on his social media, there's a lot of business, but there's also a lot of him out there having fun with his family. So today we're here to talk about shifting from a sales mindset to a service mindset. And I want to just set the tone before I bring John on. What I mean by that, and we talk about the shifting of the mindset, is I often say every day in real estate, you wake up unemployed, and it's your job to go out and find your next employer. And when you go to real estate training conferences, you hire a coach, you read a lot of books, you watch the online videos on YouTube, there is such a heavy focus on what we like to call lead generation, which basically is trying to produce names, numbers, and emails of people who are remotely interested in buying or selling real estate, whether it's now or in the future. And I do think lead generation is very important. Obviously, we could be great negotiators, we could have a high degree of skill, but if we don't have a client to deploy that against, we're not going to be in business for very long. But unfortunately, what sometimes gets lost in this lead generation sales mindset is understanding how to use agency and build long-term relationships with clients. And John is a guy who really personifies this mindset of a service way of operating. So I'm really excited to have him here today on the show. So please join me in welcoming Mr. John Cooper. John, thanks for being here, buddy.
Hey, Braden. Thanks for having me.
That's awesome, man.
Watching your show progress and inviting me on is a huge compliment. I'm not that excited about you inviting me on a day after having Taylor Hack on, but I'll do my best. Let's just say that.
He's a pretty smart guy.
Yes. Yes. I have to actually, when I watch Taylor, I have to actually slow him. I watch him, you know, you watch audibles in 2.5 times. Yeah. I slow Taylor down to halftime.
Yeah. 0.5.
Just so I can really pick up what he's putting down.
You should hear what it sounds like when you play it backwards.
That's a good idea. I bet you there's some there too. I bet you he's thought about that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, John, thanks for being here. You recently celebrated a milestone, 10 years in the business.
Yeah,
that's
10 years.
Pretty crazy. That's pretty crazy. I'm curious, like, you know, when you got in the business, we were just heading into a recession at that time. Like, tell me what was going on your first couple years in the business. What was the market like?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it was a, everyone says, you started at the perfect time when they hear my story. And I'm not sure I buy it. I made the best of it. Sure. Am I stronger because of it? Yes. But I'd rather have started in a time when there was actually some trading going on. You know, I had I started my idea to get involved, move to Nanaimo, get involved in real estate, spawned in 2007, which was obviously a very attractive time to get into the business. And by the time I was licensed, had my RE/MAX of Nanaimo business cards in hand, it was April 2008, and trading stopped. So that was the unlucky side. I mean, I had some things go right that set me up for success, and I'd be happy to touch on those. But the overall it was a tough time to get started in the business. No question about it.
And to put things in perspective, like, how old were you at that time?
I was 31.
31. You moved to Nanaimo, not really knowing anyone.
Yeah, no, I wanted to get out of the Lower Mainland. I did a business degree in Kelowna, got a taste of the small city, and went back to the mainland to work with my dad. Was getting ready to retire, so setting up his business for succession, and then starting a business of my own. And I just realized the Lower Mainland, as much as I'm born and raised there, I loved it. It wasn't for me, and I wanted to get the heck out of there. I was willing to go anywhere. Comox, Courtney, Nelson, D.C., and my wife, who spent some time at Malaspina, cabled Nanaimo. I looked on a map. I saw the ocean. I saw the trees. And I thought, this will work. And so that's where I went and set up shop. Didn't know anybody. Had barely even really been here before, other than, as you know, driving through on my way to Tofino.
Yeah.
And ultimately, though, I say this now. If I won the lottery today, I'm not going anywhere. I love it here.
Yeah, I'm sure you've had a Nanaimo bar before then.
I had a Nanaimo bar before then and didn't like them then, not a big fan, and still.
Oh, yeah. Okay, fair enough. So here you are, you decide to get into real estate, the party's still going, late 2007. You decide, you know, Nanaimo, haven't really heard of it, looks beautiful. You move there, recently married, I believe, baby on the way, is that right?
Baby on the way, bought our first house.
You bought the first house, so you got a mortgage, and then all of a sudden the party stops.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it was a tough time. It was really very much, what have I done? I'm sure my wife's parents were, what have you done? And off we were. But, you know, I had a few things go right, too.
Yeah. What were those?
So the fun story that I love telling, my sort of Coles Notes origin story, was that a lot of people don't know. Is when I first moved here, my first job, I actually got hired by Derek Gillette, who's a really successful team leader here in Nanaimo, has been for a very long time, great agent, and worked for him for 2.5 months before he let me go. Now, I like to say he let me go because I was clearly overqualified for the position. I mean, I'm sure he has a version of the story too, but it was a great it was a great opportunity for me to look under the hood of a high performance real estate business. And so that gave me a bit of an idea of what it was going to take. Now, then the other thing that went really well for me was, Braden, you know, I've been involved in MMA for a really long time, UFC, mixed martial arts. Well, unlike today, back in those days, that sport lived and breathed on the internet. And so because of my passion for that, I had some internet skills and I put those to work. My time was essentially worthless. So I put that time towards building my internet sites, building, buying domain names, figuring out just basically strategic planning on what it was going to take to make the most of the internet in real estate, because it seemed like the logical place to go. I promoted a King of the Cage event here in Nanaimo, a professional fight. I sold out Frank Crane Arena to 3,000 people. And the Nanaimo boy won the main event. And the money from that show ultimately bought my first website and allowed me to get through that first year. So it was kind of a cool transition from the world of MMA that I came from, managed to find a way to make some money out of that and fuel my real estate business. So that's what went right for me.
Wow. So you took, you know, a passion of yours, you were able to leverage that, gain some skills, hone your internet chops, and then bootstrap your way to building your real estate business.
Yes. Through professional fighting.
Wow. Through professional fighting. Yeah. That's quite the story. And, you know, the reason why I think that's such an important place for us to start is, you know, there's a lot of agents who are getting into the business, you know, in the last year or two. We're finding it, you know, a different set of circumstances, certainly than 2008, 2009. We're definitely more in a seller's market than we are in a buyer's market. But regardless, I think anyone who's, whenever you start, market up or down or in between, when you get things going, there's a lot of effort that you have to put in, a lot of hustle, a lot of blood, sweat, and tears. And that's where a lot of people fall into that lead generation short-term focus. And I'm just curious, like when you reflect on those lean years, the first couple of years, did you feel that pressure of giving the, you know, the short-term advice, or have you always had that North Star mentality of long-term vision? Like, you know, I want to know your mindset. What was your mindset like in that first 12 months?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think me, like so many people in this industry, we have survival tendencies. You know, we're not jumping into 100% commission sales because we're used to safety and security. You know, but at the same time, when I had my first taste of where my interests were starting to contradict with my clients, when you're really hungry, you know, you've got a, you know, your account with the brokerage is getting high. you need, you know, your mortgage is due, you're running out of savings, you know, you end up where your interests are in a little bit of conflict with your clients. And I think what I recognized right away is that that felt really uncomfortable. It felt uncomfortable, and I didn't like that feeling. You know, I'm a relationship guy. I like to build relationships. I like to keep those relationships. And so I think the uncomfortableness that gave me really forced me to make a decision. And the decision I made at the time was not to focus. And I tell this to my new agents all the time, not to focus on the amount of time you're dedicating to each client and then attaching that time to an expectation of compensation specific to that client. I say, look at the aggregated result of your activities through the year. And at the end of the day, did you get fairly compensated for your time and your effort? And just take that focus on the relationship building and the activities that lead to opportunities, and just apply that over time. And ultimately, it works. I mean, you mentioned in the intro, you mentioned something about leaving money on the table. And I challenge that. I actually think you're leaving money on the table when you do it the other way. You know, you're leaving money, you're leaving immense amounts of money on the table when you do it the other way. And I'm sure anyone that takes the same approach, I'm not the only one that does it, can point to countless examples of where they gave the exact right advice that was exactly in that client's best interest, that firmly resulted in you not getting paid, and ultimately resulted in you getting an immense amount of referral business and respect from those clients and their networks. And so it's just the bigger picture.
Well, how many CMAs did you do in 2010, 11, 12, where people purchased a home in 06, 07, 08, want to move for their own personal reasons, but you have to have that tough conversation, look them in the eye and say, listen, the market's not willing to bear what you paid. And by the time you pay me and the other legal expenses, you're backwards to the tune of X. That's a very difficult conversation. And that's where I think the short-term mindset can feel like, if you say, you know what, I think the best thing for you to do is not list your home, you could feel like at that moment in time, you're leaving money on the table. But ultimately, I think what you're getting at is that longer term vision. Like, what are the stories that those clients are telling about you with their friends and family afterwards about John, this agent who came in, gave them great advice, recommended they stay put for a year or two, you know, pay down some debt or wait for the market to appreciate? That really turns the crank on your business.
Yeah. I think it's actually ridiculous to think that when you step outside of your agency fiduciary duty, that people don't notice. They notice instantly. You know, it's like you might be pretending that they don't, but you know they do. You know, I had to make up this term. I've heard it before. I'll share it. I'm sure you've heard it too. It's this idea of commission breath. And commission breath stinks. And people can smell it a mile away. And the instant that you step out of your fiduciary duty and start focusing on doing the deal or whatever it's going to take to meet your best interest instead of your clients, you've got commission breath, you stink. I promise you, your clients can smell it too.
Yeah, and I think I've heard you use the expression sales culture. Right? Like, and actually, in fact, you were recently at a business networking group that you speak a lot at or you're very involved with. And I think I saw a video on Facebook anyways, and it was like the speaker that day didn't show up. So you stepped in, shared, you know, 5 minutes of your thoughts on sales culture. I'm curious, like, when you think of the topic we're covering today, like, what would the opposite of sales culture be when we're talking about the service mindset?
Well, I think, you know, I think it's the, in fact, our real estate council is all over this right now. And frankly, they're doing a good job. They're doing a great job of reminding everyone what the core of our business is. You know, agency is the core of what we do. We're getting hired to provide the best advice possible to that client's benefit, not to hustle houses. You know, we're not house hustlers. We're there to provide agency to help people make really, really important decisions that have a huge impact on their life. And so, you know, for me, it's all about why I can show up and with confidence is I believe firmly that I can dramatically, I 100% believe, Braden, that I can dramatically outperform the market if you're a buyer or a seller using my knowledge, experience, tactics, and strategies. I believe that with every fiber of my being. I can outperform the market and I can outperform the average agent. That's where I earn my value, by demonstrating that. And I get asked to prove it every day. And that's exactly what I'm ultimately asking them to do. Make me prove it. Make me prove it that I can outperform the market and provide immense value through my advice and whatever that advice might be.
And I love what you're saying. I want you to challenge me on a perspective here. As you know, I'm very involved in coaching. I coach with Richard Robbins and help a lot of the agents here at RE/MAX. And I know you've been exposed to different coaching organizations. I think Travis Robertson is one that you've been down to events on. And you know how the industry works. We do business plan. And our goal is to take the big picture and break it down. So we think, you know, a revenue goal for our business comes from transactions, which come from clients, which come from leads. And it's our job to help our agents focus on where their leads going to come from. So every day they know they have sort of a prescriptive plan of action to, that if I just do this, this, and this, 1, 2, 3 every day, it should aggregate out to my financial goals. Yeah. Now, coming from a service perspective where you're just trying to do the very best you can, be the fiduciary, be the agent, give great advice, which, by the way, I love that. But I'm just curious, like, how controlled do you feel of your destiny on an annual basis? Like what's your business planning process when you're coming from a service standpoint versus a sales standpoint?
Sure. I think it's a great question. It's an easy one for me to answer. I mean, do we engage in transaction monitoring? Do we set goals based on number of transactions as a team? Absolutely, we do. You know, I know what my goals are for how many seller clients I'd like to help guide this month and next month. And I'll have conversations with each of my agents based on what their goals are, which are all defined based on their stated lifestyle. I don't dictate, you know, you need to make X amount to be on this organization. You can come in with. But the key part here is that we have a set of core values. We have a set of beliefs that we'll just never compromise. We'll never compromise. And at the opportunity, if I have the opportunity to list 3 houses that are going to have me meet my April goal, and of those 3, I need to compromise one of my core values, I will 100% walk away from those opportunities every time. And I'd encourage everyone on my team to do exactly the same thing. You know, the core values are what guide those decisions. So you can still have a focus on transactions. You just don't want to compromise your core values, because now your clients know when you do.
Absolutely. So do you mind sharing some of those core values? Because I know you are a values-driven person. What comes to mind is whether they're your personal ones or your team values.
Sure. I mean, you know, we've got 6 core values here as an organization, and I'd be happy to share all 6 with those. And when I reflect on these 6, you know, I can see there's a lot of my own core values within these team core values, and I think that's to be expected. But you know, the core values that we rally around as a team in no particular order is that of humility. You know, and that's not thinking less of ourselves, but it's thinking of ourselves less, if you follow me there. That's that concept of humility that we like to bring to the table. We have a big one for me, and this was a life-changing book for me and a career-changing book for me, a business-changing book for me, was extreme ownership. And I know it's a simple premise. Mr. Jocko wrote that book, but that's one of our core values in those 2 words, extreme ownership. And that's the idea that real success comes when you take ownership for your actions. And an inability to do that is way outside of the core values of this organization. Braden, have you heard of the concept of Kaizen? Does that mean anything to you?
Kaizen Way, is that the name of the book?
Kaizen, yeah. My coach introduced me to the term Kaizen, but I talk about, and this is a something that I've brought with me that actually comes when I used to be an athletic trainer. But this idea of constant incremental improvement.
The 1% improvements.
That's right. Yeah, constant incremental improvement. That's a core value. Relationships matter most is another core value. The team always outperforming the individual is a core value. And lastly, this idea of life-work integration, not separation, not balance. We call it integration. We want a work life that supports your actual life and your actual life to support your work life. We want those to be integrated, not separated.
Did you hear that concept of life-work integration from Marianne Huffington by any chance?
No, I actually got it from, I was inspired by the, the shoe company? I'm drawing a blank right now, but.
Zappos?
Zappos, thank you. It was Zappos that got introduced me to that concept.
Yeah. I like that too. So, okay, well then let's say, so I'm joining your team. I'm brand new in the business. I'm scared shitless. I, you know, have expenses that are guaranteed. I have revenue. Oh shoot, did I just swear on a family show? I hope your daughters aren't watching. Sorry, John. and you know, there's no guarantee of income, only a guarantee of expenses. And yeah. I'm reading all the books out there, watching all the Richard Robbins and Tom Ferry and Brian Buffini, and it's lead gen, you know, rise and grind, all that stuff. What would you do to coach me as far as making sure that I'm calibrated with your values and not sitting on my butt waiting for the business to come to me? Because I don't think that's what you're advocating for. But like, how do you move the needle in your business from a service perspective?
Sure. I mean, so new agents, I'll just talk generally speaking about where my mind's going to go with a new agent. Number one is, you already kind of touched on it, is you want to, and this was the best advice I got coming to the act, and that's how I align myself with RE/MAX and RE/MAX of Nanaimo, is because you want to be where the action is. You got to be where the action is, you know, and I can tell you, designing a website, making the coolest looking business card isn't going to do a damn thing for your business ever. You know, you could be hugely successful in this business and never have a business card. I promise you. Time spent designing business cards, designing websites, you're guaranteed not to get business while you're doing those things.
You know what my expression for that is? I call it active procrastination, right? Yeah. We're really, really busy getting nowhere.
It's fun. I like designing business cards. I've gotten pretty good at it over the years as I procrastinated my way through it. But it's a horrible plan for a new agent. Be where the action is. Make sure you've got lines in the water at all times, whether you're doing an open house, doing a sales center, looking for internet leads of any quality. Don't just focus on internet leads. There's a ton of other better ways to generate leads as a new agent. Internet leads is a steep learning curve. And then the most important part of this is, like, don't just be good at sales. Like, don't just be good at sales.
What does that mean? Like,
yeah, for me, I just say, like, this industry has more than enough people that are good at sales, right? So if you took all the agents, we're going to be able to, the majority of them are good at sales. That's what initially attracts. So to me, that's table stakes. Being good at sales is table stakes. How good are you at your actual job? Your actual job of providing agency. And in my mind, a modern real estate agent needs to be really good at three things. Real estate agency, and we're being reminded of that as an industry. That's number one. Be really good at agency. Understand fiduciary duty and understand real estate economics so that you can provide great agency. Number two, you need to understand contract law and how that relates to negotiations. Again, that's where you're going to earn your value and be really good at real estate marketing. And within real estate marketing, there's three marketing problems that need to be solved. One, you need to sell and expose houses. Two, you need to attract seller leads. And three, you need to attract buyer leads. Those are three different problems. And you need to be able to solve all three of those. You know, so that to me is that craftsman approach to the business. Like, being a good real estate agent requires education, constant education. And it's not showing up to the table with a treasure chest of bells and whistles, right? And that's how I see a lot of the sales approach to the business is, look, yeah, we do agency and fiduciary duty and contract and all that. But let me show you how smooth I am and check out my bell, check out my whistle, sign. And I just don't think that's a sustainable approach. And if you look at where this industry is heading, those days are over.
So I'm curious to hear your dealings just working in the field. Do you find that the average client takes an interest in agency when you speak with them? We use the classic form we're all familiar with, working with the realtor. A lot of agents will fill that form out as they're writing the offer, and some agents will have that form in the very beginning before they, you know, show a home to somebody. Do you find the average consumer actually takes an interest in agency when you're talking about it, or do their eyes glaze over?
You know, I'd say this. I don't think the average client has the experience to fully understand how fiduciary duty is represented in agency law. Okay, but I will tell you this. They are expecting you, and this is the challenge. This is where I spend most of my time trying to demonstrate otherwise, is they're expecting you to look to sell them, and they're expecting you to look out for you. And that's a huge problem. That's the start of most of our relationships is, hey, I've heard you're a good agent, but I just want to let you know I don't trust you and my back's up right from the get-go. Let's proceed. And I think for me, it's really letting them know by demonstrating through our core values that our commitment is to their outcomes. And so how do I demonstrate that? I spend a hell of a lot more time at our meetings getting clear, listening to them talk, asking them pointed questions, than I do putting on the bell and the whistle show that's all too common in our industry.
So as I was saying at the top of our interview, you recently celebrated 10 years in the business, and I saw you share that milestone on Facebook, and you have this great, you know, paragraph sort of talking about the highs and lows of the business and everything you've learned in the process. And you shared this quote, and it wasn't the first time I heard it, but it's something that I remind myself all the time, because anyone who knows me well, I'm very impatient. And it was something to the effect of we overestimate what we can accomplish in a year and underestimate what we can accomplish in 10. How has that been true for you?
Sure. I mean, whoever introduced me to that quote, I've got some I need to thank, because that was kind of like my mantra during those really tough years. And back to some of the things that went right for me coming into this business. My first job out of university was database marketing for a software company. That was my introduction. And I actually sold library automation software. So you can imagine my target market was librarians all over North America. I got to go to librarian trade shows and essentially ran a database marketing program for librarians. But that was, you know, year one out of university. And what that did for me was show me the value of a good database, you know? And so, you know, I have saved every email address I've ever come into contact with since I was 20 years old.
And do you use the Dewey Decimal System to keep them all organized?
I organize them in an advanced version of the Dewey Decimal System.
Wow.
But you know, that was, I saw how they applied this database marketing and concept of consistent service over time. So I knew that if I could keep a database, stay in contact with that database, focus on referable experiences, and just repeat, that by years 8, 9, and 10, that I would start to have a business that seemed a little more sustainable for my desired lifestyle than it did in years 1, 2, 3, and 4, where, you know, there's times when you start losing hope, Braden.
Yeah. Yeah. We've been there.
Yeah. We've been there.
So that it really was something that was a grounding quote for you. Like it's not something you recently heard. That's actually something you reminded yourself throughout the process.
Absolutely. Because if I had taken my results from years 1 through 3 and thought, wow, this is what the next 6 are going to be, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here. But I knew that I had to take 10-year perspective. And I know it's easy right now. There's agents, you can come into this business and make the money that I made in year 7. In year 1, it's very possible, and that's fantastic. But if you're in it for 10 years, you're going to have to come back to this idea that it really is a long. It's a business that requires a long game plan, and the best agents that they're still, you know, look at who survived the downturn of 2008 at our company here at RE/MAX of Nanaimo, and who are still successful in the game. I promise you that they have taken the same approach.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm curious to know then, the last question, could go back and you know, advise the 2008 John, what would you tell him?
Yeah, I mean, there's some real obvious ones that jump right to my mind, and you know, if you ask this question too hard, Braden, I'm going to start to cry, and that's not going to go really well for us. But
I've been waiting for a viral video since I started, so let her rip.
So you know, right away, obviously, you know, for me, there's no answer I can give other than wishing I spent more time with my daughter. You know, my oldest daughter, she's 10 now, and those first 4 years, I was working a lot, and I would have loved to direct much more of that time at my at those first few years of my daughter's life. So there's the obvious one. The other one is really, you know, making the man, I call it your personal operating system. And that, when I talk about your personal operating system, it equates to what you eat, how you schedule your day, whether you exercise or not, what, you know, prioritizing your health, all those things, like the base level of yourself as a, as an executive, making that managing of the personal operating system a bigger priority than I did in the early years. You know, that fallacy that you can work 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, indefinitely. You know, you and I used to make, you know, I used to talk about the TikTok, you know, like these older agents, they can't keep up with me, TikTok, they, you know, they're not going to be able to keep my pace. And that worked for a while. It doesn't work forever. And I think the sooner that you can start to manage your personal operating system for the long term, that sustainable approach, you know, I think that's a better approach. Not that you're going to spend times way out of balance, and not that you don't still need to push yourself into extremely uncomfortable situations and workloads. That's required. Just like going to the gym, you can't just do what you did the last time. You have to make it a little harder each time to progress, but within reason.
Yeah. Fantastic advice, John. Thank you. And I also forgot to ask if someone wanted to connect with you, pick your brain, perhaps send you a referral from out of market, what's the best way for them to connect with you?
Sure. Well, you know, we're Central Island, so Nanaimo, Parksville, Qualicum, Ladysmith, Shermanus, those are all areas that we love to help people buy and sell real estate in. You know, reach out to me through my website, coopergroup.ca. All my contact information's on there, john@coopergroup.ca. Or, of course, you can call me on my cell phone, 250-619-9207.
Awesome, John. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you being a guest on our show. I always appreciate our time to chat, and it feels like it's been too long. So maybe I just need to book you again so we can catch up.
Let's do it, Braden. I love what you're doing here with this show. So keep up the good work.
Awesome, Tom. Thanks so much.
Okay,
see you around.
Thanks, Braden. Bye.
All right, guys, there you have it. John Cooper from RE/MAX in Nanaimo talking about shifting from a sales mindset to a service mindset. Really hope you enjoyed the interview. John's a very smart guy, as you can tell. And what I love about this conversation is how he's evolved as a professional. You know, he alluded to this inside joke that him and I used to have when we were, you know, 10 years younger, which was we could outwork everyone and just throw ungodly amounts of time at the business. And you know, I love the fact that he's evolving, and you know, now I realize that effectiveness is actually where he wants to be, and spend more time with his family and the things that matter to him. So. Thank you so much for your attention. I really appreciate it. I think this is the most people we've had watch live, which is fantastic. I can hear John clapping in the background still. And you can look forward to the rebroadcast being dropped on my Facebook page Friday by noon. All right, guys, have a great rest of your week. Bye for now.